Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Moving can be a scary experience. You're depending on a group of strangers to transport your most cherished items across the state or across the country. You've heard the horror stories about moving. Well, how can you avoid the pitfalls? Well, we're going to help you. Because my guest is Ian Grossman. He is with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. They're the group that oversees interstate transport. Now, we're going to limit our discussion tonight if you're moving out of the state. If you're moving within the state, then your laws that apply to that are from your own state. So am I correct in that, Ian?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, welcome. It's nice to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about your organization. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is a agency within the Federal Department of Transportation. And our mission is for the safety of the operation of large trucks and buses on the roadways across the nation. And that is our specific mission as dictated by Congress. And mostly, the vast majority of the agency's activities is in regard to the safe operation of those big rigs that you see on the road, the large motor coaches. However, part of our agency also includes oversight of household goods transportation, more commonly known as the moving industry. And part of what we do is try to help consumers be aware of what to do in moving.
All right. So let's talk about the moving part, because that's what we're concerned with. There used to be something called the Interstate Commerce Commission, I guess, that regulated moving. And then there was kind of a gap. Did the duties of overseeing moving transfer directly to you all from when the Interstate Commerce Commission became defunct?
That's right. Portions thereof. When Congress dissolved the Interstate Commerce Commission, a portion of what the ICC regulated was this interstate moving industry. And they took a portion of that and some of those responsibilities and transferred it to Federal Motor Carrier.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it from the practical standpoint. This is kind of moving season. School is out. A lot of families are relocating, and they're going to have some nightmare experiences. And we've been hearing from consumers at Call for Action. We've been hearing from consumers who have had their goods held hostage. So before we address that issue, however, let's talk about the process of moving and how you go about making it a not scary experience, as I referred to in the opening. Because, you know, moving isn't something that most of us do very often, so we're really ill-equipped to deal with all the issues. Your website, it's the fmcsa.gov, is that correct?
There is fmcsa.dot.gov, but specifically for those interested in learning about preparing a move, I would encourage them to visit www.protectyourmove.gov.
protectyourmove.gov. Okay. I'm going to write that down, and we're going to make sure that we repeat that during the program, because you have very good information there. I have to tell you, I was impressed with what you've put together.
Thank you.
But anyway, let's talk about the process.
Sure.
The process is you're going to move.
Yeah. You're
not in a house or an apartment, and you're going to move.
That's right. And you're exactly right that we don't necessarily deal this on a regular basis. It's once in a while, and you usually don't think about it until you're presented with, oh my gosh, I have to pack all my stuff up, which can be a daunting and very stressful task. In fact, moving one's household good items has been studied to be one of the most stressful activities an individual has to go through in their life.
It's all your precious belongings being transported somewhere, and it's not in your control.
Absolutely. The good news is that the vast majority of moves in this country do happen without incident, without these horror stories, and are done by reputable, responsible movers. So that's the good news. However, that doesn't lessen the hardship and the stress that does occur sometimes with individuals that get taken advantage of. So again, the first thing that someone should do to get back to the process of moving is visit protectyourmove.gov. Because what that does there is it starts to walk you through some of these steps of how to prepare for a move. And the first step, of course, is finding a mover. So how to go about finding a mover. The first thing you want to do is do your research and don't automatically go to one source.
Actually,
to find your mover.
You recommend, and I usually recommend to consumers, that you get at least three estimates.
That's absolutely correct.
Of the same type of estimate. And we're going to talk about types of estimates in a minute. But all right, so you go there. People can go to your website and they can find out whether or not the mover is registered with you all, whether or not they're licensed. Is that
right.
a different issue?
Well, being licensed, being registered is synonymous. Yeah, but we do have a search engine on our website to make sure they are a registered, legitimate moving company.
All right, so that's a beginning.
That's the beginning.
That doesn't guarantee anything, but it is a beginning.
That's right.
All right, so then from there, they can also go to the, if they're moving within the state, they can go to the state agencies.
That's right. Every state is responsible to have their own regulations set up for intrastate moves. It varies from state to state where in your state government that may be housed. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you to look into that. Usually somewhere related to the Attorney General's office.
Right.
Usually handles consumer type affairs, and they can point you in the right direction.
Okay. So check out the website, then get three estimates. Now, let's talk about the estimates, because this is a very important part of the process. And you all recommend, and I recommend, that consumers get the same type of estimate. And there's really two basic types, binding and non-binding estimates.
That's correct.
Okay. Binding sounds very simple, but it's not quite as simple as it may sound. Tell us what a binding estimate is.
A binding estimate is where the mover basically tells you, I'm going to move you for X dollars. This is what you want to move. Now, we should pause here for a second and talk about the process of getting the estimate. And this is an extremely valuable tip and something that every person considering moving should demand, is that when you're getting the estimate, that the mover comes physically to your location to look at your goods. Because what we see a lot is when people are taken advantage of, it's by irreputable movers that aren't going through that process and want to be able to give you a quote.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here.
Okay.
You're listening to Of Consuming Interest. We're going to be right back, and you really need to hear this because you never know when a move is in your future.
You're listening to Of Consuming Interest on 1500 AM and 820 AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, helps you stay informed of the latest government mandates, IT innovations, and management trends. Weekday mornings, listen to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris from 6 to 10. Tom and Jane have 20 years of combined experience in the federal market. They talk to principals, thought leaders, and game changers and provide the analysis and perspective you need to make the right decisions for your agency and business. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
WFED, Washington. WWFD, Frederick. Worldwide on federalnewsradio.com and your source for federal news now.
You know, the federal government's the largest buyer in the world, $450 billion spent every year, but the government procurement process is complex. Federal News Radio 1500 AM can help you from the inside. We talk to chief acquisition officers, program managers, heads of the primes and subs and industry associations, all of whom understand the business of government and give you insight on the latest buying trends and processes to help you with your next bid. Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
You're listening to Of Consuming Interest on 1500 AM and 820 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Ian Grossman. He's with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and we're talking about how to survive the scary experience of moving. Before we took the break, you were talking about getting an estimate and getting a binding estimate, and do you want to pick up on that?
Absolutely. As we were mentioning earlier, the idea that most moves are safe, but there are some where people are taken advantage of. What we see in the industry is that where we have these rogue movers that are taking advantage of people going through the moving process, one of the early warning signs is a moving company that wants to give you an estimate over the internet or over the phone without ever seeing your items.
They don't want to be bothered with coming out because they know they're going to rip you off. That's just it right there.
So when you're looking at considering hiring a moving company, that is the number one red flag you should identify. Make sure they're going to come in person to look at your items and discuss with you the moving process in person.
Okay.
Not filling out a form on the internet or telling them over
the phone. Right. All right. So now the binding estimate is... What that means is you're going to pay what it says. They're going to tell you what it's going to cost you to move. But there are some exceptions to that binding estimate, right, where there could be greater charges.
Absolutely. And again, this gets back to meeting with the mover in person and having a conversation with them. Because one great example, especially those listening in urban areas will understand, is that if you have a large amount of items and the moving company brings in a large tractor trailer to move you, But then they get to your destination and it's on a narrow city street where they cannot bring that tractor trailer. And you did not tell them that this was the type of destination. They now have to go out and hire another truck to shuttle your goods.
A smaller truck. Right.
From the tractor trailer down the narrow street to the apartment or townhouse, whatever it might be in an urban area. You are now responsible for that additional cost. Similarly, along those same lines, you didn't inform the mover that they had to carry the items up three flights of stairs to get to your destination. None of those items in and of themselves, if discussed early on, would be a big deal. But
because
when,
you'd know it, you'd plan for it, it would be included in the estimate.
Exactly.
So I guess it's really a good idea if you're getting ready to get the estimates is to make a checklist of all the things that you need to discuss with the mover and make sure that you discuss it with each of the movers so that what you get are contracts that you can compare apples to apples.
Well said. Full disclosure, honesty, transparency will serve both the person doing the moving as well as the moving company well.
Okay, so that's the binding estimate. And now it's up to the consumer to decide what they want to do. Do you ever save money if you get a non-binding estimate?
I don't think there's one rule one way or the other. You really have to just compare.
What are you comfortable with?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I guess you could ask each company to give you both a binding and a non-binding estimate. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
You can. Some companies only work one way or the other. They have that option.
Uh-huh.
They don't have to give you both pricing options. That's part of the when the consumer is doing their research on purchasing a moving company, they should take those choices into consideration.
I like your term, purchasing a moving company, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're purchasing their services.
That's
right. And you really need to look at this as you're the buyer and you want to know what you're buying.
That's right. And just as you would go out and do research when you purchase a car, when you go house hunting, when we make any major purchases in our life, we compare the options in the marketplace and look at what's going to give me the best bang for my buck. And that's not just an economical consideration, but it's am I willing to pay more for better service?
Right. So it's probably a good idea to ask the mover before you ever have them come out to your house to find out what kind of an estimate they will deal with, whether they give you one of each or whether they will give you a binding estimate or only a non-binding. All right, let's talk about the non-binding, because that's a little bit looser there, and there's a whole lot more involved in non-binding estimates.
That's right.
Just give us an overview of a non-binding estimate.
The most typical non-binding estimate would be the moving company that comes, looks at your goods, and based on what they expect the weight of those goods to be, they give you an estimate cost. However, it's a non-binding cost in that the actual weight will determine the actual cost. A reputable, well-established moving company is very good at that estimating process, but you have to understand what you're agreeing to. And again, that gets back to the disclosure. If all of a sudden when the moving company shows up and you decide to add three bureaus and dresser drawers that you previously weren't going to put on the truck, that's going to change the weight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you do have some rights as far as the weights are concerned. They have to tell you what the weight of the empty truck was, and you have the right to go to the weighing after your furniture and goods are loaded onto that truck so that they don't try to put a phony invoice across on you.
Exactly. You do have the right to observe the weigh-ins at the scale.
Both the empty and the full.
That's correct.
Okay.
And you also, regardless of whether you go to those weigh-ins, you should always demand from the moving company to provide you with the weight ticket so that you have that paperwork of what the truck weighed empty versus what the truck weighed once your goods were put on the truck.
And is that signed by someone? Is that signed by an official at the weigh station?
It's a ticket that is produced at the scale.
Okay. So it would be like a printed ticket that you would get.
That's correct. Or signed by the scale official.
Signed by the officials. Okay. Now, this is where it gets to be a real problem for consumers. They get to the, and we've heard nightmare stories. We've heard from people, just got a couple who moved to North Carolina. They got there. The mover said, oops, sorry, it's going to be $3,000 more. And you're not getting your goods until we get the check. Now, there's a lot of stuff wrong with that. But one of them is they're actually breaking the law by saying that, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Okay, tell us how.
As soon as a mover gives you an estimate and they deliver your goods to that location, they must release the goods if you pay them 110% of the estimate. So with this couple here, if their original estimate was $1,000, if they pay the 110% on that $1,000, the mover must release the goods to
In other
their
words,
custody.
They would pay $1,100.
That's correct.
Which would be 110% of the original estimate.
Right.
Now, they can be billed for the rest of it.
That's
right.
Correct. And then depending on what the moving company is charging them for, they could deal with those disputed charges in any different number of ways, depending on the circumstances of those charges. But they must release the goods to their
customers. See, this is where consumers don't understand their rights and why I think it's so important. What we're doing is to say to the consumer, yes, you may have to pay more, but they can't keep your goods. We just, within a week, and this is one of the things that prompted me to call you, Ian, was the fact that we've heard from two consumers, two moves in nightmare situations. Both of them had the same kind of thing happen to them, where their goods were held hostage. Now, we've sent them to your administration, so we're hoping that you're going to look after them.
Yeah, and I would tell anyone listening, if you are ever in this situation or you have a friend or family member, we have a hotline at 1-888-368-7238. So if your goods are ever held hostage, please call us and we will do what we can to help you through that process.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here. We'll give you that number again when we come back, so get your pencils.
You're listening to Of Consuming Interest on 1500 AM and 820 AM.
You know, the federal government's the largest buyer in the world. $450 billion spent every year. But the government procurement process is complex. Federal News Radio 1500 AM can help you from the inside. We talk to chief acquisition officers, program managers, heads of the primes and subs and industry associations, all of whom understand the business of government and give you insight on the latest buying trends and processes to help you with your next bid. Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
You're listening to Of Consuming Interest on 1500 AM and 820 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Shirley Wooker. My guest is Ian Grossman. He's with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and we're talking about protecting your move, and that's the name of the website. Actually, it's protectyourmove.gov. And also, if you're in a situation in a move where the mover is trying to hold your goods hostage because they're telling you that you owe them more money, first off, they're breaking the law. The number to call, the hotline number for the administration, is 888-368-7238. Call them and report the company. Now, will you intervene on the behalf of the consumer?
It depends on the circumstance. Sometimes we do have the ability to insert ourselves and help bring it to a resolution, but at minimum, under any circumstance, we will be there as a champion of the consumer and able to guide them through their options.
Well, you can tell the mover that they're breaking the law.
We can certainly remind the mover of the law and what Congress
is. Is it useful to call the police and say, hey, I've got this company here that's breaking the law? I mean, the police are probably not going to do anything for you, are they?
But certainly that, again, differs from location to location.
Right.
That's a...
Depends on how busy they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But the thing is, they do not have the right to do it. And so with a consumer armed with that knowledge, you can at least talk to them and say, I've got federal authority on my side. You cannot hold my goods hostage.
That's absolutely correct. To steal someone else's coin phrase, the educated consumer is our best customer.
Yeah, right.
Certainly in this case, being educated will empower the consumer tenfold.
Absolutely right. Okay, the contract should spell out everything that's going to happen, right? You've got to read it carefully.
That's right.
Got your magnifying glass if necessary, but you need to understand exactly what the terms are. One of the big issues that consumers have is not understanding how much insurance is actually included in the move. And there ain't much, baby.
That's right. The default insurance, if you don't choose any additional coverage, the moving company is liable for 60 cents per pound of a damaged or lost
item. And that is nothing.
That is not very much at all. It may sound like something when you're in the midst of 1,000 boxes and your couch is being put on the truck and you say 60 cents per pound, it sounds like it might work out. But think about the items that you might break that you might really care about.
Well, a crystal goblet, for example.
Perfect
example. It's probably going to give you 60 cents if you don't get insurance.
Right.
So what should they do? What should a consumer do? Make a list of the things they want to get extra insurance on, Ian? Would that be a recommended course of action? Or how would you suggest they approach this?
Well, there are a number of different insurance options. One of the basic options in lieu of the 60 cents per pound is a full value protection, where the mover is liable for the entire replacement value of your lost or damaged goods of anything part of the shipment. It's a comprehensive plan, but you have to select this alternative level of liability.
Mm-hmm.
And then if something happens, the mover is either going to have to repair the item, replace it with a similar item, or provide you the cash to replace the item.
But you got to remember to get the insurance. Now,
that's right.
Buying the insurance, is it a good idea to buy it from the carrier themselves, or should you go to an independent insurance? And does your homeowner's insurance ever cover any of this?
The homeowner's insurance, you'd have to consult your individual
Ask
policies
your
and talk with your agent. You never know sometimes what's included in those homeowner's policies. But certainly in this instance, again, if you're dealing with a reputable, responsible mover, purchasing this additional insurance through them is a safe and wise consideration.
Okay. So get the insurance out. I mean, that's really important. Now, who does the packing? This is an issue also. I've heard people say, well, if you pack it yourself, the insurance company's not going to be responsible if something's broken, so that will nullify your extra insurance coverage.
Well, that is valid. And that's something, again, to have that early conversation with the mover about is based on who packs, how does that change the liability? And that does vary from policy to policy and company to company. Again, it's a matter of having the conversation and understanding what you're agreeing to.
Okay. So making certain that you know what's what in terms of packing, because some people will say, well, this is my good china, I want to pack it myself. But you need to know whether or not that's going to nullify the insurance if you pack it yourself. And they say, well, you did a sloppy job, and if we'd have packed it, it wouldn't have broken.
That's true. And if you do pack it yourself and the mover says it's not included in this additional insurance, there are other insurance options. Again, if you visit protectyourmove.gov, it goes into more detail on some of the additional insurance options you may want to consider.
Okay, and the other thing is, how do you keep control of all those boxes? Because when they bring them to your house, your new residence, it's going to be mass confusion. What I did, I went through and marked every box and what room I wanted it in my house, my new house, and I labeled the rooms so that they knew which room to go to.
Sure.
And that way, it saved me a lot of hassle. I mean, I was still frantic, nevertheless.
Different systems work better for different people. Some people like to do exactly the system you're suggesting by labeling the room and the boxes. Other times, because of how you're going to move into the house, it's more ideal to have a staging area for your boxes where you can then ferret it out as you're unpacking. But the bottom line is having an inventory of
right.
what's going on the
and
truck
and knowing
and what's coming
All
off
right,
the truck.
All right, now here's one of the big problems. When the movers are finished with getting your stuff into the house, they're going to be ready to leave. And you're not going to really have a clue as to whether all that stuff is there.
That's right.
Whether every one of those boxes, because there's no matter how well organized you are, you're not going to know. So what do you do? Because they're going to ask you to sign something.
Don't sign until you walk through all your goods with them and have a sense that everything's there.
So you can put this off? I mean, they're going to let you get away with that?
They'll give you pressure, but you just remind them you have the right to inventory your goods with them. And if it takes 2 hours to walk through, it takes
two hours
to walk through.
Gotcha. Thank you, Ian, so much. I think you've given our listeners some really good information. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Ian Grossman. He's with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. I'm Shirley Rooker with WTOP's Call for Action, and we thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.